Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramar Tefio on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience.
Hello, I'm Stuart Alexander, and thanks again for joining the Socialist Insight. Today, he comes and joins our program every other week, and he shares a lot of his vast knowledge and experience in dealing with many of the issues on the left. And today, Alan, we'd like to welcome you to the program once again.
Well, thanks for having me again, Stuart.
And, Alan, this should be a very thank you, and this should be a very interesting topic that we're covering today. We're going to be talking about Washington politics, truth or lies. And we're going to let our listeners make the decision and form their own opinion in regards to much of the information they see coming out of Washington, D.C. I'm quite certain you have already formulated your opinions. I know I have mine. And many people, millions of people, have become very disenchanted with much of the rhetoric that comes out of Washington, D.C., and we see things just constantly getting worse from year to year. Alan, first of all, I'm going to start out with some of the things that we have seen since 2008. We saw the country was headed for a major financial disaster. People were having problems with their credit. Many people were losing their homes. And that trend has continued over the years, even until today. Here in California, where I live, we have people trying to refinance their home. They're losing their homes. And it is occurring at a very rapid pace. But, Alan, we are still in a very severe crisis here in the U.S., a very severe financial crisis. And all we're receiving from Washington is nothing but rhetoric and nothing but lies. Now, let's go back to 2008, just before President George Bush, before he left office. Now, again, we had a president was saying that we were headed for a great recession or even a depression. Disaster was imminent if Congress did not release the necessary funds to keep the government operating. And at that time, it was in October, Congress, they passed a bill which was the TARP, and it gave, and that's the Troubled Assets Relief Program, which gave the president $700 billion to save the government. Was that a lie, or was the government really at a financial impasse?
Well, I think it was one big hoax and a lie. I mean, obviously, the economy, the capitalist economy, is crumbling before our very eyes. But as far as the government itself saying that they needed that $700 billion in order to create jobs and everything, that was one great big lie. Because the jobs were never created. There were some jobs that were created, but even those jobs were mostly on high roads and highways and things like that. Like you could drive all across the country, and you would see these big signs that said "Paid for by the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act" and everything. And the fact of the matter is, most of that money went right into the pockets of the Wall Street people in the form of profits. None of these jobs were done as government jobs. All this road work and everything could have been done under the auspices of state and local governments, and it wasn't. It was all done by contractors who just had their fingers in the public till and were taking all the profits. And we saw the same thing with the auto corporations. The auto corporations are making big money now and employing less workers, and they're getting less pay. For the first time in history since the 1940s, auto workers are now getting poverty. A number of auto workers are receiving poverty wages because they have
exactly.
Three-tier. Never before since the union has been in existence at the Big Three, have auto workers ever worked for poverty wages? $14 an hour is a poverty wage. And plus all the plants that were closed under this tarp thing and everything to straighten out the auto companies. Literally, I think it was like a couple dozen auto plants shut down. I was just recently in Michigan, where a huge General Motors plant in Wyoming, Michigan, just outside of Grand Rapids, a suburb of Grand Rapids, a huge, huge auto plant, a perfectly good auto plant, was bulldozed over, leveled to the ground. If it wasn't going to be used for auto, it could have been certainly used for something else. You know, this is insanity, and this is what our tax dollars are going to pay for. Once again, there were big signs up, paid for under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. What sense does it make to use taxpayers' money to bulldoze down a building?
Exactly. And what we saw at the same time, we saw of those funds, President Bush, at the time, he used approximately $300 billion of those funds, supposedly, to help create jobs, jobs that we never saw. And then a few weeks later, we had Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi, was ready to come in and telling President Obama, when you come in, we're going to have an $825 billion stimulus program so you can create jobs. Under neither program did we see any jobs. President Obama even said, well, the jobs that were supposed to be shovel-ready, he said, well, they weren't really shovel-ready. But it was still $787 billion, and coming into his term, he still had $350 billion of the money that came from the Bush administration. It was still $350 billion there. So we had over $1 trillion, and the jobs never materialize.
No, we could have put all that money into a national public health care system and come away with 12 to 15 million jobs, and it would have cost less than the $1 trillion that the taxpayers are out right now. You know, it's just been lie after lie from Obama. In fact, I just called Amy Klobuchar's office. She's the senator from Minnesota. And I asked how many jobs are – when Obama talked about jobs in his speech, how many jobs was he talking about creating? And she said – one of her staff people said 60 to 70,000 jobs. You know, this is pathetic. We've got 15 million people at least unemployed in this country right now. And to talk about a president to get on television and have all the media talk about jobs, 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 that jobs, jobs, jobs is the biggest lie I've ever heard. It's as, at least as big of a lie as what why we fight these stupid wars, you know. Oh, and the American people are going to have to hold these people accountable.
And we're not holding them accountable. And the only thing we keep doing as American citizens and working people, we keep voting them back into office, which is beyond any type of reason at all. We have right now, overall, if you look at under since that stimulus in 2009, with the $787 billion and the jobs that were supposed to be supposed to have been created, as you mentioned, people are still unemployed, and in addition to that, we have 6.3 million Americans additional, I should say, more American citizens are living in poverty since Obama took office in 2009. So something is saying that the numbers are not corresponding. We're spending more money as American taxpayers, but we're not seeing the jobs being created. We're seeing more people going into poverty, and we're seeing the working class where they are being taxed to the limits. So all I can see is that something is very fuzzy about the information that we're receiving out of Washington.
Yes, it's all lies. There's one more important aspect to this, too, and that's that even the jobs that were created, the pitiful small number of jobs that were created, affirmative action wasn't enforced on any of those projects. This is the first time since Lyndon Johnson signed Federal Executive Order 11246, the affirmative action law in this country, that a president has not enforced affirmative action on these kinds of public works jobs programs. And the result of that is we can clearly see poverty is rising out of all proportion in communities of people of color, and the unemployment among women, you know, simply because affirmative action was not enforced. In fact, Obama ordered his Department of Justice not to enforce affirmative action. You know, this is a crime. It's not just a lie what's being done in this country. It's criminal. It's a crime because the law says affirmative action has to be enforced when this kind of public expenditure is made on all these projects. Over $1 trillion has been spent, and with all that money being spent on not one of these public works projects was affirmative action enforced. No place in the United States.
Well, you know, as you mentioned, they're not enforcing affirmative action, and one of the reasons why they're not enforcing affirmative action is, again, it affects labor. And
right.
One of the things we see also is that it is to make certain that many of the people that where jobs could be created, those jobs aren't being created where it benefit the people that are living in poverty within this country. As we can see, jobs can be created with the monies that are coming from the federal government or monies that have been allocated from Congress. Those monies are being spent in the wrong direction. They're going to big corporations. They're going to Wall Street. And as you mentioned, affirmative action is not being enforced on many of the federal programs that we see throughout the country. I know one thing. You don't see it here. I've mentioned before with many of these projects, especially the ones that you could see in many of the roads and the freeways that were being worked on, and they were mentioning that the tax dollars at work. But you didn't see any women, and you didn't see minorities working on those programs, and it's blatant discrimination. And still, this Congress is not enforcing, even though they supposedly have the administration, I should say, want to enforce affirmative action, but we don't see it in reality when we see it right there on the street.
No, there's no affirmative action being enforced. You know, this is—it's all everything is so skewed in favor of Wall Street and the profits of these very rich people that the American people have no say. They spend this money before it can—you know—people don't even know what it's being spent for, and they've taken this massive amount of money and they've just spent it, and nobody knows really where it's gone. There's no explanation or anything, and I asked. Senator Franken, I asked him personally, I'd like to see when you spend money on a public works project like on highway construction and stuff, I'd like to see how much of that money goes to the profits of the contractors and the architectural firms and everything. And he says, that's not public information. That's
not public information.
Yeah, not public information. Well, why aren't the profits public information? You know, the American people should be talking about this. And, you know, we have the same thing with Social Security now. And you have the Social Security fund that's been literally robbed, nothing but IOUs left. And that money, where has that money gone? To pay for wars? It's gone to pay for this trillion-dollar bailout and everything? You know, why didn't they use that money to save people's homes? Why didn't they use that money to create a public bank so we don't have to pay these huge interest rates to the bankers?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not looking at anything like this, and they're not going to unless people get organized and put it on the public agenda to begin discussing these things. And the news media doesn't want any of this talked about. You can't even get a letter to the editor hardly in a newspaper anymore if you start dealing with the solutions to some of these problems. They won't even publish your letter.
And some of the things that you mentioned, which are so relevant, we have seen over the past 4 years that this administration and Washington, I should say Congress also, because they're called the culprits in this as well, where they have spent over $2 trillion to help bail out Wall Street. They have spent well over, as I mentioned in the stimulus between Bush and also Obama, that has been approximately $1.4 trillion right there, a little over $1.4 trillion. And in addition to that, we see the Feds now, they are just dumping money into this economy to help shore it up, to help shore it up from falling into a deeper recession. And all this is being done, we're talking about trillions upon trillions of dollars, and nothing is being done. There's no accountability because we have an administration and we have a Congress that are feeding the American people nothing but lies, and they're not creating the jobs, and they're not making services available to people in our communities, not available to working people.
Right. This Gibbs, I don't know if you saw the other day in the newspapers, this Gibbs, who used to be the press secretary for Obama, he now works for some major network. I don't know if it's MSNBC or something. Anyways, he's come out and said that he was told not to comment on whether or not these drone strikes and the drone war was even taking place. You know, so here's a guy that lied and lied and lied to the American people at press conference after press conference, and yet he had the nerve to slander and malign people in the peace movement and stuff by saying that these people wanted too much too fast. And all the while, well, you know, he was holding this back from the American people that this whole drone war was being prepared to, you know, send these things to kill people all over the world. And now, you know, they everybody practically admits that almost 4,000 innocent people have been killed in these drone attacks.
Have been killed.
Yeah. And we don't even know how much this drone war is costing us. They won't
right.
say. They, you
and,
know, they keep that secret. That's another lie.
And that's information that they're holding back from the American people, and we're going to get into that later on during our program. We're seeing how we're exploring how information is coming out of Washington, where it's affecting us here nationally. We're going to get into the program later where we're going to discuss how it's also affecting us on an international level, and we're going to get into those drones as well. One other area I want to look at, we go back and forth, as I mentioned, is either the fiscal cliff, which we're going to talk about right now, and also we look at, of course, is rising debt, and of course the reason why it's rising is because of the out-of-control spending that Congress is doing that's only benefiting big corporations. It's not doing anything to create jobs. But what I would like for you to do, Alan, if you can explain to our listeners, what do they mean when they say fiscal cliff? And what is a fiscal cliff?
Well, I'm not really sure what they do mean by the term fiscal cliff. And I think that they've
it's fabricated
yeah.
by Congress.
Yeah, exactly.
They're the ones they created it.
Yeah, they created it to evade talking about the real issues. I mean, common sense says that, you know, if you got to fund a war and everything, and if you got Wall Street people, these parasitical coupon clippers, just sucking in everything they can as profits, you're going to have debt and you're going to have a deficit, because that money is not being used for anything. Here in Minnesota, that they've created an agency to fight hoarding, and this is people. You go, you know, some people like to collect things in their homes, and they're defining this as a mental illness. So they set up this agency to start treating these people. Well, I said to these politicians, to a group of politicians, a couple of weeks ago in St. Paul, down here at the state capitol, I told them, you know, if you want to talk about hoarding, why don't you talk about the wealthy people that are hoarding the wealth of this country and not allowing it to be used for the things that people really need? And everything is turned on its head and set upside down and backwards in the way things are viewed in this country right now. So instead of talking about the truth, all they do is feed us lie after lie after lie after lie.
It's one lie after another.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with the fiscal cliff. There's no reason with the wealth we have in this country why there should be any fiscal cliff that people are going to be shoved off. And yet, you know, who are the people falling off the fiscal cliff if there is one? It's the people that are losing their homes. It's the people that are unemployed. You know,
right.
It's the people that are going without health care. these are the people that are being shoved off the cliff by these Wall Street bribe politicians in Washington. And they're talking about some kind of mythical fiscal cliff based on debt and deficits. This is ridiculous. They've created the problem, and now they're acting like they don't know what to do to solve it, when the solution is simple. Spend the money creating government programs that put people to work solving the problems of the people. WPA programs, CCC programs, National Public Health Care System, National Public Child Care System. You know, all this, people need it.
Well, what I find very interesting, there's no fiscal cliff for Wall Street, but there's a fiscal cliff for working people. Wall Street, there's no fiscal cliff. We have plenty of money. Bernanke said, we're going to funnel an additional $40 billion a month into the economy to make certain that we shore up our economy and also to help Wall Street. But fiscal cliff, we're going to make certain that working people have to cut back because our spending is going way past the limits, and limits that Congress, it's the wasteful spending, including the wars that Congress is doing. So what they're doing is they say, here's a fiscal cliff. In other words, a line of demarcation. If we go past that point where we don't contain our spending, then we're going to impose certain restrictions on working people. But they don't impose any restrictions on Wall Street.
None at all. They won't even impose price controls for things like heating fuel and gas and food. You know, these are also things that can be done, but they don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about real cost of living factors and what they can do to improve the livelihoods of working people. Never do you hear them talk about that. And these wars, like you say, these wars are costing us so much money, and the government is printing money to pay for these wars, which eventually is going to result in inflation. And I can assure you they're going to find some way to blame working people for the inflation. But inflation is created when these politicians create money to pay for their dirty wars. That's why we have to create so much money in this country, and that's why where this wealth is going, into wars and profits. And the wars themselves are profitable to the section of Wall Street. So, you know, it's a vicious cycle. They've got us caught in this web that we got to break free from. And
one of the things also, Ellen, a lot of people don't realize that they'll see, again, is hurting people and working people in their pocketbooks. Part of this fiscal cliff that they were talking about, and that Congress is imposing further restrictions and hardships on working people. Working people are going to be paying more in taxes as a result of much of what was signed into law by President Obama and what came out of Congress just a few weeks ago. You have the average American, over 77% of all people, filers, are going to be paying more in taxes. And what they're saying is that people are going to see everyone, people that you see in your communities, your neighborhoods, they're going to see a jump in the taxes that they pay as a result of this supposedly fiscal cliff. But these monies are only being used, as you just mentioned, Alan, just to pay for more wars. It's a fiscal cliff that is being created to subsidize wars and wasteful spending that this Congress and this president is doing.
Yeah, it's and it's not just people paying higher income taxes. It's the user fees. It's all the the sales taxes, like here in Minnesota and around the country. You hear all these legislators start talking about raising the sales taxes. They're going to start putting sales taxes on things that weren't taxed before. This is all things that working people are going to be paying the bulk of these taxes. There's only so much that even a wealthy person, there's only so much they're going to buy in food, clothing, and everything else. So, you know, it's working people that will pay the biggest share of their incomes on all these additional sales taxes and user fees and everything else. Garbage fees are going up. People have to pay more for these garbage bags to put the garbage in. You know, there's no end to it. I was talking to some librarians, and they were saying they're going to have user fees on some of the new books and stuff that come into the libraries, where people got to pay to take new books out. They can wait 4 or 5 months, and then they can get the books for free loan like they do, you know, usually. But the new books are going to start charging people for. This is ridiculous.
Right. And the other one other thing, as I mentioned, as you know, this fiscal cliff and how we go from one extreme to the other with this Congress and this government. The other thing what we always see in the news, if it's not about the fiscal cliff, we're hearing about the debt ceiling.
Yeah.
The debt ceiling again. All of this, our listeners need to understand, you can tie this to the wasteful spending and the irresponsible spending that has taken place out of Washington. And along with that wasteful spending, it's covered up with one lie after another that is coming from Congress or is coming from this administration. The debt ceiling right now, we're looking at over 16.6 trillion dollars, and Congress is like they have an unlimited ceiling in regards to how they're going to be spending this money. And people need to understand, our listeners need to understand, every dollar that is spent, we're spending over 40 cents on every dollar just to run this government, which is borrowed money. And
yep.
who is responsible for paying this money back is the people that are listening to this program. It's working people. They're the ones ultimately held responsible, not the benefactors, the ones that are benefiting from this, but the people that are responsible for this reckless spending are the ones that are responsible for it are right there in Congress, covering up with lies. But we do have a problem, Alan, with when they keep increasing this debt ceiling. What is your opinion about increasing or containment? Because what I see is, even if you have a household, at some point you need to live within a budget. And we can live within a budget, but we don't live within that budget because it's like we have a Congress and we have a government that they feel that they have a checkbook with unlimited borrowing potentials.
And not only that, the more debt there is, the more the bankers make. People don't understand completely, I don't think, that the government has to pay interest on all this debt and the money that they borrow. And who makes that money? The bankers, the same bankers that taxpayers bailed out. This is total insanity. What we should be looking at is creating a public bank in this country, a national public bank and state public banks. North Dakota has one that operates perfectly, and it's saving the people of North Dakota a lot of money on home mortgages and student loans and everything else, small business loans. So, you know, we should be looking at that, because part of what they're not telling us when they talk about the $16 trillion of debt, that's not the full price. The full price, you have to include the interest payments, too.
Right.
Even if the interest was 1%, just imagine what the interest on this debt is when you're talking, you know, $16 trillion.
Right.
This all has to be figured in, and that's, you're talking over, you know, 30, 40, 50 years paying on this debt.
Right, exactly. Well, and actually, it gets to a point where it never can be paid off, Alan.
No, never. It's just
you can't pay it off in 200, 300 years.
And that's why people are losing their homes. I said that's why people are losing their homes, because some of these people that are losing their homes have paid for their homes actually several times over, but because of the interest, they haven't paid anything on the principal. And it's the same thing with government debt. We're just in a no-win situation where we'll never be out of debt. It's just unending. There's only one way to break this cycle, and that's through, you know, cut Wall Street and the bankers out of the picture completely.
Well, let me ask you, Alan, what do you think about the debts? How should that be handled? I mean,
it's not going to be handled.
Because obviously the people of this country will never be able to pay. They are estimating by the year, I believe it's by the year, within the next 5 years, that the debt is going to be $22 trillion. $22 trillion. how it will never be paid off in 100 years. A hundred years.
The only solution is to tell the bankers you've already made more than what you're entitled to, and we're not going to pay you any more. And you start a national public bank to replace these private banking industry. That's the only solution. There is no other solution to the debt crisis. As long as you're paying
the bank,
solution. It will never be solved. No.
People need to realize that the debt that's outstanding right now. Our listeners need to understand that this debt, your great great grandchildren will still be paying this debt, especially when you look at the interest that's going to be accruing over the years. It will never be paid in our lifetimes, and we have a Congress that's still making they're creating more debt constantly with their reckless spending. What I want to do is look at how this is affecting us in our homes and our families, especially when you look at the cost of education, a college education. The estimate is that a college education, if you look at over the last 30 years, it has increased by more than 1,100%. 1,100% in the last 30 years.
Yeah.
Incomes have not increased that much. In other words, it's gone up almost over 11 times of what it was 30 years ago. Explain to our listeners how this reckless spending and the cost of education, because when you and I went to college back in the 70s, college was free. And many of our students today can't understand this, but when you have debt and the wrong priorities of a government where the monies are being spent, how does that affect students when they are in the streets or they're participating in rallies and demonstrations because of the cost of a college education? Can you explain that?
Well, the only way I can explain it is that the reason kids have to pay more to go to college is because less public money is being put into universities and stuff today because that money is going for war. So instead of paying for colleges and universities, people are paying for these wars. And to me, everything centers around these wars. That's the primary thing. You've got over 50% of the federal budget now going to militarism and wars. Common sense says, you can't keep increasing that and paying that kind of money into wars and then expect to not have to pay more for an education and stuff. So that's why students are paying more for an education. On top of that, I mentioned this before in one of the programs, Obama has handed the entire collection over to a company called ACS, American Computer Systems, I think it's called, which is owned by Xerox. And this is the organization that's collecting student debts. And they get anywhere from 40 to 65 to 70% of what they collect. So in all these thousands and millions of dollars, literally, I guess it's now trillions of dollars that students
trillions.
Owe. Yeah. This company.
Almost $1.2 trillion.
Yeah, even if they rake off 40%, just look at the money that this company is making. Well, the kids are expected to pay this money back. It's insane. They should just cut off and say, you don't owe this amount of money. And instead of giving this money to this collection agency, give the students a break. But these people don't think in these terms because the people that are, lobbying these Congress people and giving them the campaign contributions are these same corporations. So they can't think that way. If they thought that way, they would no longer get campaign contributions out of Xerox and these big corporations. So, it all boils down to, again, when you're talking about student loans, to big business and wars, Wall Street profits and wars. And what else can you say about it? There's nothing else to say.
Again, when we look at, when we talk about how it's affecting working people, we go from students, young people, all the way to seniors. we have in many of our communities, we can see daily where we have seniors making. I was just talking with a lady the other day, and she said from her Social Security, she was receiving $660 a month. $660.
Yeah.
And then they're talking about Social Security going broke somewhere within the next 15 to 20 years from now. But this is, again, because of the wasteful spending and having the wrong priorities with this Congress and this president and other past presidents, that we see that the spending has gone in the wrong direction and it's not taking care of the social needs of our communities. But that's only one example where I say $660 a month. No one can live nowhere in this country on $660 a month. Many seniors are making less than $1,500 monthly for their income.
Yeah, and they want to cut people more.
And so, I mean, myself, when I look at Social Security, this is something where Congress they have robbed a system that should be able to be solvent and be able to take care of the seniors. And also they should be investing in that particular system because it's a system that was actually designed to be able to take care of many of our seniors, just like you have many of the private corporations and many of these private pension funds, how they have been robbed by big corporations.
Yeah, people with these 401ks, they've got practically nothing left since these investment firms got done with them as the economy collapsed. You know, they will never get that money back. We've been watching the 401ks in the casino industry, and people have lost from 60 to 80% of the money they had in these 401ks. And I've heard that, you know, in the organized labor movement, the pension funds, they don't know what they're going to do. This is something that they're keeping quiet right now because those funds have lost literally billions and billions of dollars. So, you know, a lot of this stuff hasn't even been tabulated yet that, you know, they talk about the chickens coming home to roost. Well, what's going to happen when all these people can't collect on their pensions that they paid into and all these private industries and everything? But, you know, if you ask a member of Congress, what happened to that money in the Social Security Trust Fund? What did you spend the money on? Nobody can tell you. They won't tell you. But they say it's gone into the general fund. Okay, if it's gone into the general fund, that means over 50% of that Social Security money has gone to invest in wars.
Right.
You know, that's common
sense. That's what happens.
If they're going to tell you that, then you got to take them at their word. And now they've got just a pile of IOUs sitting there. And what they're trying to do is getting out of paying back that money that they borrowed. What the heck? Where else can you borrow? I think it's like $3 trillion, that's $2.7 trillion or something that's been borrowed from the Social Security Trust Fund. Plus, you got the Railroad Retirement Fund that has been borrowed from. You know,
right.
And where else can the government get a free loan like that? The bankers don't give the government a free loan, but they got a free loan from the Social Security Trust Fund and the Railroad Retirement. And they spent that money, and they don't want to tell us where. That's another part of the big lies in Washington. Why can't they tell the truth about where that money has gone and why they don't want to pay it back? Well, if they would have put that money into housing, if they would have put it into transportation, they would be getting that money back with interest. But they didn't. They spent it on wars. You don't get any interest payments on wars unless you're a banker.
Right,
and,
exactly.
So, you know, those IOUs should be drawing interest right now. And not only are they not drawing interest, but nobody knows how that money is going to be paid back. And now the politicians are trying to wiggle their way out of paying it back by making cuts to Social Security and the Social Security programs.
Ellen, I'm going to take a slightly different direction because we've been talking about what comes out of Washington, you know, whether we see the truth or the lies coming out of Washington. And for the most part, you know, I see something from time to time on the Internet. It says Democrat, Republican, awake. And I like that. And hopefully many people listen to this if they have voted Democrat even in the past and think that, you know, the president that they have or the people in Congress are representing them, maybe they'll, next time when they see that on the internet where they check the appropriate box, they can say, oh, now I am awake.
Yeah.
But there is a problem with this. We see with the attacks that took place on the World Trade Center back in September 2011, and within 2 years of that attack, and it was very unfortunate for the people of this country, and I don't think all the truth has actually come out about that, but this program today is not going to focus on that. But within 2 years of that, we saw ourselves engulfed in a war with Iraq and Afghanistan, and supposedly then President Bush was saying that we were entering into this war because there were weapons of mass destruction. However, within, it was a matter of within a year, I believe it was, the president came out and said, well, there were no weapons of mass destruction, but we brought democracy to these people, and they were looking for democracy. And also we saw the same thing in Afghanistan, where we invaded that country, and they say the Taliban and how they were had training camps where terrorists could be trained to be able to present itself as a threat to this government. But we haven't seen the evidence of that over a period of years. But, Alan, basically, what we heard then and what we can see today, what President Bush was talking about back in the early part of the last decade, are these lies that are still being proliferated today?
Well, sure. We see Obama spreading the same lies to justify his wars. I mean, his wars are Bush's wars, and, you know, these aren't even Bush's and Obama's wars. These are Wall Street's wars, and so the policy remains the same. And the only way, you know, it's just like Mark Twain said, you know, the truth is always the first victim in wars, and, you know, it makes a mockery of our democracy when politicians have to use lies to justify a war. And I think the majority of the American people understand that all we're getting fed is a bunch of lies, but they don't know what to do about it. The problem looks so big that they're sort of afraid to tackle the problem, because you have to confront the fact that we can't trust the Democrats or the Republicans, that they both represent Wall Street. They both represent policies that are going to keep getting us into these wars because of lies. So we need a new political party in this country. And we need big movements in the streets to end these wars. I don't see any way around it. Everything that's coming out of Washington is lie after lie after lie. They can't tell the truth about anything. They're afraid to tell the truth, because if they tell the truth, people will expect that the policy would be changed. So
it appears like they're compulsive liars now.
They are. They have to lie. It's just part of the program, and part of their agenda is to spread these lies. The lies keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And if you know, just the thing with the drones, that Obama's press secretary would now admit publicly that he was told not to answer any questions about what was going on with the so-called drone program, just shows that they tried to cover up and lie, you know, right from the beginning. And the American people would never have stood for these drone wars if they would have known what was going on. But all of a sudden, we find ourselves in drone wars. Well, how many of us even knew there was such a thing as a drone?
Well, first, when it was presented to Gibbs, the only thing he would ever mention is that it was classified, and he could never say anything about it. Now we understand he was told not to say anything about it, even though he was aware of that.
Yeah. The truth always seems to be classified in this country. You know, I noticed that in my FBI files. Everything that they do, that the FBI is doing to people, tapping your telephone and everything, that becomes classified information. Well,
it's classified.
You know, For 40 years, they've been tapping my telephone, opening my mail. They probably go to my email. And it's not just me. They do this to millions of people in this country. But all of that becomes classified. What is there to classify except for the wrongdoing and, you know, what they're trying to do to malign people that are trying to make this a better country and a better world to live in? So the lies have extended to such an extent that, you know, it threatens our very democracy. You know, what kind of democracy do we have when a government has to engage in lies to justify its programs and policies?
Very
that
interesting.
That is no longer democracy.
Very interesting. As I mentioned, you had that little those blocks, those three blocks, Democrats, Republicans, awake.
Yeah.
And as long as you're a Democrat or Republican and you believe in that system, there's no need that they should be able to investigate you or tap into your phones or whatever. If you're awake, then all of a sudden it becomes very imperative that they know exactly what you're doing and how are you thinking.
Yeah.
But, Alan, what it appears is the war on terrorism, as many of us hear all the time, is say there's a war on terror. But really it appears that the war on terror is actually a war for global domination. That's what it appears to be.
Exactly.
It appears that it's a war. They have created a war where they can expand the forces of U.S. imperialism, where we have free reign to just march in any country or fly our drones over any country and even offer surveillance here in the U.S., all under the guise of it's a war on terror. So what took place on 9/11, unfortunately, many U.S. citizens died there, but what it has expanded, how this has gone to the nth degree, is now it has put our own freedoms as U.S. citizens, it has put that at risk.
Yeah, you can't do anything in this country without somebody telling you that they got a check on something because of the terrorism aspect. You can't even open up a bank account and put $10 in it without the bank saying we got the right to use this information to make sure you're not a terrorist. You know, it's just totally absurd. It's every facet of people's lives now. If you want to take an airplane any place, look what you got to go through. The government's just clamping down on the people is what it amounts to. They want to put fear into the people. And if anybody speaks out, they want to put the fear into people that, well, if you speak out, you're going to be considered a terrorist. And, you know, even this guy that went berserk there in California, the ex-cop, right away they defined him as a terrorist. You know, everything becomes terrorism, no matter what. And, you know, they even justified the spying on and the manipulations of Occupy Wall Street as, you know, keeping an eye on terrorists. And they people fighting against the pipeline from Alberta down to Texas. The FBI describes people as possible terrorists, you know. And every single thing you come across.
Everything is a terrorist.
Yeah,
and some of the things, Alan, what happens is much of this is just slipped onto the American people and signed into law before they even know what has even happened. We had just a few years ago, we had the National Defense Authorization Act, and myself personally, I hadn't heard anything about it until after it was signed into law. What about you?
Yeah, same thing with me.
I didn't know anything about it. I mean, so could you explain what the National Defense Authorization Act, just explain in very briefly what that is for our listeners to understand?
I thought it was to authorize defense spending, but apparently it's a lot more than that. It involves the ability of the government to jail the American people and everything. And
surveillance and everything.
Yeah, massive surveillance on the American people.
It can spy on U.S. citizens. I mean, they can incarcerate you and indefinite detention. Right now, that's in the courts right now. And as I mentioned, something that is so far-reaching that myself, and millions of other people, and many people on the left didn't even have a clue as to what this was until at the last minute on December 31st, Bush, you know, he signed it into law. And this is something that was discussed in Congress that you didn't see any discussion on the floor, and both houses of Congress and both sides of Congress, Democrats and Republicans, supported something that was so far-reaching.
Well, they put up all these cameras on the highways and stuff saying that they were looking for speeders and wanted to make sure there weren't accidents, and if, you know, if there was an accident, they get help and stuff. But here in Minnesota, the Commissioner of Public Safety has said that all these cameras are tied into through this massive Homeland Security network to look for terrorists, you know. So no matter what, everything they do, you know, is aimed at done under the auspices of terrorism. And it's a massive spying on the American people. You know, before they used to spy on people that were protesting here and there. They maybe spied on a couple million people. Well, now apparently they're spying on at least tens of millions of people. So
tens of millions, they're spying on an entire nation.
Well, yeah, they are. And in one way or another, everybody's being spied on. They even admit Verizon and some of these telephone companies, they're into this whole network too, where if they detect certain phrases or words, they begin, you know, taping your conversation.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, where does all this end? You know,
we've put out a lot of words today on this line, Alan, that they're probably taping everything that we're talking about.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they do.
I'm just being facetious.
Well, no, they really do. And my FBI files are full of that kind of stuff, interviews
on the radio.
And they collect the letters to the editor that I write and everything. And it's not just me. When we sued the Michigan State Police and the FBI, they admitted they, in the state of Michigan alone, they did this to 55,000 people. And this was back in the early 1970s. Imagine what that has increased to today, you know.
And see, Alan, in my opinion, you speak for the American working class and Americans that still believe that there is some type of hope for freedom, that people can enjoy freedom. And right now you become an enemy of the system. And that's one of the reasons why I enjoy having you on the program, because you share with the public what they're really up against. And most people don't understand what they're up against with this government that we have today and what is coming out of Washington.
I encourage people to ask for their FBI files. You submit a Freedom of Information Act to start it off, and people will really be surprised to see what kind of information the government is keeping on them, you know. And this is all part of the educational process for people to make that request and to see what's being done. If you've been to a demonstration of any kind, whether it's a peace demonstration, environmental demonstration, if you've walked on a picket line, these police are taking pictures and they're accumulating a file on you. If you write a letter to the editor for peace, for civil rights, you become a target. And they start a file on you and they accumulate everything they can. They go and talk to your relatives, your neighbors, and they begin this file, a massive file, you know. And just an ordinary person that gets involved. And I know one lady, she told me back in 1974, I don't think they got a file on me, but she was active in the civil rights movement. And so I said, make a request. And she made a request, and it came back that she had a 3,000-page file.
3,000 pages?
3,000 pages. And, you know, the things that they collect are when cars park in front of your house, they write down the license plate numbers, they photograph the car, they photograph people coming and going from your house. My own file, one of the first files that they have in my FBI file is when I was involved in the desegregation of the public school, the public high school, Union High School I went to. And it said, it starts off by saying, subject is the youngest known card-carrying member of the Communist Party in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and he is known to be a leader of the NAACP Youth Council, and his parents are the same, you know. And then they went to say, colored people are seen going to and from the Mackey home. This is the kind of thing that they put in these police files. as if it's a crime for people to have somebody of another race come into your home, you know. But these are the kind of files that these police have been keeping for years on people. And
so, in other words, if you believe in freedom in this country, and if you believe you should be free in this country, you're looked at as a threat.
As a threat and an enemy. You're looked at as an enemy of the country when you're really a patriot. You know, the enemies, the people that they should be keeping the files on are all these crooks in Washington. You know, if we looked at what all these crooks in Washington are doing, most of them would be in prison. You know, they've been doing this to me. The FBI has been spending all this money spying on me and millions of other people. How much does that cost? And yet I'm still walking free. If they started looking at these politicians in Washington, most of them would be in jail overnight for the bribes that they're taking and everything.
Well, Ellen, I really enjoy having you on the program from time to time. And, Ellen, I might mention Alan Mackey. He comes on this program every other week, and he joins us, and we get into national and also international issues. This is a very important issue that we're discussing today. It's Washington politics, truth or lies. And even though I believe that there's nothing but lies, and I say nothing but lies coming out of Washington, there's still many people out there, they believe that everything that comes out of Washington, they believe is truth. If they say that it's a fiscal crisis, they throw their hands up in the air, and then they follow whatever direction that Congress and this administration mentioned that should be taken. In other words, you need to pay more taxes. You need to pay more for your education because there's a fiscal crisis. You know, there's a risk that you will not have a job. But the thing is, many of the crises that we are facing as a nation and as working people, these severe issues are actually being created by the people that we elect into office. But, Alan, what I'd like for you to do is just take a minute or so you can sort of sum up your words that you would like to offer to our viewers in regards to the subject that we cover today. And Alan will be back with us 2 weeks from today. Alan, just take a minute or two just to summarize what we discussed today.
Yeah, it won't even take that long, Stuart. If we would have talked about the truth coming out of Washington, you would have had about a 15-second program today. I mean, that's
okay.
The truth. And I think
that's good, 15 seconds.
That.
I thought it would be less. how long does it say, no truth?
I think most people will agree with that with what we've said, that there just is no truth coming out of Washington. It's just all lies. You know, you can't believe anything that Obama says. You can't believe anything your congressman or congresswoman is telling you. You know, you can't believe any of these people. They've all been bribed and corrupted by Wall Street. And that is their truth. But when it comes to the American people, it's nothing but one great big lie.
Well, Alan, I really appreciate you joining the program once again. Alan, how can people reach you? And I might mention they can always contact myself through StuartAlexanderCares.com. And any comments you have in regards to the program or comments that you have in regards to the guests to come on, including Alan when he appears on our program, feel free to go to that website. But how can people contact you directly, Alan?
Well, people can contact me, finding all my contact information, my email and everything on my blog. And that's the Podunk blog. You just have to Google Alan Mackey, A-L-A-N-M-A-K-I. Or people can call me here at my telephone number, 218-386-2432. And I'm always happy to talk with people, you know, about what we talk about on the program or anything else.
And I appreciate it once again for joining our program today, Alan. We look forward to having you back on 2 weeks from now. We'll be back on next week at the same time. We'll be discussing some issues in regards to immigration and also border issues and how it's affecting many of the southern states and also working class people that have immigrated into this country where they deserve to be able to enjoy the rights to live here in this country as well. But we'll be discussing that within the next 2 weeks here on this program. Until next time, be certain to join us next week at the same time, 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern Time for the Socialist Insight. Thanks again. Thank you, Alan. And
thanks
again
for
Ruth Ann.
Sure. Good night, everyone.
Good night.